This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. On Saturday, January 13th, residents of and visitors to the Hawaiian Islands received a shocking series of alerts from the emergency alert system on their phones, televisions, and radios. It was reported that the Pacific Fleet had detected inbound ballistic missiles aimed directly at Hawaii and that impact was expected within the next several minutes. The alert further explained that everyone should seek shelter away from windows and await further instruction. After several stressful minutes, the alert was canceled and was labeled as human error. Hawaii, of all states in the Union, may be uniquely sensitive to surprise attacks that precipitate war. Though the anxiety turned to relief, everyone involved, in some way, shape, or form, was forced to reflect upon their own degree of readiness if this situation had played itself out completely. Today, in part two of this two-part message, Pastor Scott once again asks, "Are you ready?" This message was delivered on January 28th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
And would you thank John and Amy? Thank you so much. Yeah, so I understand our deductible is going to go from like $2,500 to $5,000, something like that, so people might not itemize. But hey, I don't worry. I just trust God. And he takes care of so many things. Amen. You know what? Why don't we start this morning? It's a good thing. Our men right now, we're going through this series, Too Busy Not to Pray. So why don't we start by praying? Would you bow your heads? Lord, thank you so much that you have called each and every one of us here this morning. And Lord, as you speak through me this morning, help us to understand and accomplish what you have put us here for. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so a couple weeks ago, seems like a long time ago, yeah? We started off talking about purpose. And I talked about we can discover our purpose when we read the Bible. Because that's how I figured out what I was put here for reading. When I read the Bible, I figured out, okay, this is what God put me here for. So we learned about that, and we also had to figure out what is not our purpose. Because if we try to do stuff that's not our purpose, maybe you want to do something that looks good, and that's your neighbor's purpose, but it's not your purpose. And if you keep trying to do something that's not your purpose, I think you're going to just get really, really frustrated. So today, we're gonna continue because... One, for one thing, the week after we had that missile scare, and I really felt God tugging at my heart, telling me, change the message to ask the people if they were ready, you know? And it's like Amy said, man, I was over here, and I was like, wow, I'm gonna be in heaven in a little while, and I don't gotta preach on Sunday. Whew, what a relief! Because I tell you what, every Saturday night, Sunday morning, like this morning, I woke up in a panic. I was like, what day is it? Oh, it's Sunday. I gotta preach. Ho. They're right there. It's like, Holy Spirit, I really need your help, man, because I have anxiety, and that's what it's like for me every weekend. Except for last week when Pastor Kia spoke. Oh, when I get a guest speaker up here, Saturday nights are so wonderful. I am so relaxed. Hey, honey, you like go to the mall? You like go cruising around? We can go out dinner. That's how it is when somebody else gets to speak. But when I'm speaking, like, oh, Saturday, no. Okay, if I have to go to a funeral or something, I will go and try and get home as quickly as possible. People invite me to go watch football on Saturday night. Oh, I was like, I love to, but man, inside me is like, oh, churning. It's like getting ready for Sunday. It's like, ugh. And people say, but you do so well. You've been doing this for so many years. I tell you what, public speaking, ugh, I never get used to it. I need God to help me. So, purpose. Now, it is one thing for us to discover our purpose. We read the Bible, like, wow, that is good. That's what God put me here for. And it's one thing for us to discover our purpose, But it's another thing to go and do it, to go and actually fulfill your purpose. For me, one of the things I need, one of my purposes, first of all, is to love God. I mean, I gotta love God. I gotta love my wife. Shelby told me on Friday, it's National Spouses Day. How many of you knew that? One. And two. So she told me that, I wonder what my wife can do for me. Not wrong. Yeah, I know. And I gotta tell you this, okay? Husbands, love your wives, right? The Bible says husband loves your wife, just as Christ loved the church. That's part of our purpose. So knowing that Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple of weeks, how many of you guys know that? How many of you wives know that? How many of you guys already bought something for your wife? Oh, one, two. Oh, just me then. Come on. I got to lead by example, okay? So I can say this because my wife is in teaching Sunday school, but don't tell her. I already bought her flowers. Okay, and I know it cost me like $100-something dollars, but that's my wife. And by the way, if you don't know, February 14 is my anniversary. I always thought, like, hey, why don't get married on Valentine's Day? Because I only got to buy flowers once a year. Right? But I never realized that flowers were twice as much on Valentine's Day. Like, oh, man. Shoot. So, I mean, I was thinking cheap, but God had other plans. But, you know, part of it is loving my wife. Sometimes we could become lazy as husbands and not love our wives the way they should be. They should be loved. So I'm telling you guys now, think of your wife now. Wives, think of your husband now and, you know, get something together for Valentine's Day. May I suggest going out to eat the day before or the day after? Because I do not go out to dinner on Valentine's Day. It's too busy. And I also got to know what my purpose is not. Yeah. So I know God put me here to love Him and to love people, to give Him praise. And the Bible tells me what I need to do. Now, if I didn't love people, and I didn't love God, you would probably see it in my actions. You know, I'd love to stand out there during worship, not to figure out who comes late. Okay? It's because I just love to hug all of you, because I do love you. And I enjoy doing that. That's part of the way God fills my tank, when I get to hug you and welcome you and just thank you so much for being here. Because it brings me joy. I get so excited in coming here. Men's ministry yesterday, I set my alarm for 4. I get up at 3:30. It's like, you know, like when you're going on one vacation and you get anxiety, so excited to go. Anybody been there? Yeah. And that's how I get. I always, and you know, when you get 10 more minutes to sleep, but you get up, it's like, oh man, I had 10 minutes more. But you know what? I better just get up already and let's go, because I'm excited to be here. And that's how it is, men's ministries. That's how it is Sunday. I got up like extra early this morning. I don't know why. Maybe because I was nervous and I couldn't sleep. But I believe I wanted to be here. Now, so you discover your purpose. Okay? And I discovered mine reading the Word. Okay? And number one, here it is. Do what your purpose calls you to do. You know, you can understand that your purpose is to love God. And yeah, we can love God, but the Bible calls us to love people. Oh, sometimes that's hard. You know, you get those who rub you the wrong way, those you work with, those you live next to, and it's hard to love them. But if your purpose is to love God and love people, then you need to do that. In Acts 20:24, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. You know, sometimes we may feel like a failure if we're not getting much out of life. Maybe we're not getting recognition. Maybe right now life is not fun. Maybe we don't think we don't have enough money or success. But Paul considered his life worth nothing unless he used it for God's work. So you see, what Paul put into life was far more important than what he got out of it. What he put into life was far more important than what he got out of it. Some of us, we just live so what we can get out of life and what we can get out of people. What is more important to you, what you get out of life or what you put into it? Like I read a couple weeks ago, Thomas Carlyle said this, a man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a waif, a nothing, a no man. Have a purpose in life, and in having it, throw such strength of mind and muscle into your work as God has given to you. So when you find your purpose, put everything you can into accomplishing what you are putting here. If you are here, there must be a reason. It's not just to take up space, but I believe it's to grow closer to God. Amen? To get to know Him, to understand Him, what He wants from you. Years ago, I was challenged. What is my purpose? Why am I here? So I went for a long walk. And I walked and I walked and I prayed, and it was just nice and peaceful and quiet. And I asked God, God, why am I here? What do you want me to do? And this is what I came up with. This is my personal purpose. Number one, steward God's gift well. And I got that from 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So everything I have, every good thing that I have, the Bible says it is from God. So what is that? It's my wife. My wife is a gift. She's really good. She's a gift. I need to take care of her. My house, working on that. My car, I try to take care of it. I don't wash it every week like some people. You know those people, you just think their car is always clean, no matter how rainy it is. It's like, what's up? And my children, my friends, I need to take care of them. My relationships, people, possessions that are given to me on earth are gifts from God. And I need to steward that well, along with the earth. That's why I no longer dump my used motor oil on the weeds. How many of you do that? No, raise your hand because you can get in trouble. But I used to say, hey, I'm killing the weeds, man. And then I realized that I'm a steward of the earth. Shoot, I got like 10 or 15 5-quart oil containers in my garage from changing oil. And because I will not dump it on the ground anymore. It's like, yeah, so that's part of it. Number two is reach the lost, according to Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I believe with all my heart, God wants me to reach the lost. And once we get them saved, we teach them, we disciple them to grow. And to continue to go and reach the lost. Next part is equip the saved, according to Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. I need to equip people to serve God. Because if I was to try and do church by myself, it would not work. You would leave the moment you hear me sing. Maybe I can cook for you, though maybe the food might make you stay, but the singing would turn your stomach. So you would not eat. So once saved, we need to equip them for service. It's kind of like boot camp. Maybe not. Maybe it is intense. Maybe not. But we need to equip them to serve the Lord. And then the last part, and grow in the knowledge of Christ, according to 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now to the day of eternity. And for me, I need to keep growing. Because if I stop growing, what happens? I shrink and I fade away and I go less. So that's my purpose, according to God's word, which I read and I prayed and I asked God, why am I here? So that is why God put me here. And you know what? Your purpose throughout your lifetime may change. At one time, my purpose was to raise my children. Now they're grown up. I don't have to go to soccer games or volleyball games or every school event that they have. I still get to go to graduations and stuff like that when they graduate. And kind of like, I don't envy, you know, waiting in line and sitting on a hard concrete seat for many hours, but got to do it, right? Sometimes we need to focus. We need to remove distractions. Okay? So we got to understand our purpose, which I talked about a couple weeks ago. And once we know our purpose, we don't put it on the shelf. No. We do it. We ask God, God, help me to accomplish my purpose. And I guess part of accomplishing my purpose, God sent me here. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I do what I do. I'm trying to accomplish what God created me to do. So here's number two. How can we help you live your purpose? Right? How can we help? 2 Corinthians 13:9. We're glad to see him weak if it helps show that you are actually strong. We pray that you will become mature. Paul, he wanted the Corinthians to grow into fruitful, mature believers. As we share the good news, our goal should be not merely to see people come and say, yes, I accepted you as my Lord and Savior, but we want to see them grow, learn in love and humble service. How many remember that? Yeah, that was good, yeah? You know, I find myself driving this week. Oh, I was driving in dirty water because I was grumbling about the person in front of me. I mean, that person was driving like 5 miles an hour. And I was thinking like, you kidding me? And it's like, here I am, Lord, I'm driving in dirty water, help me. Like, oh. But it would bring great joy to see each of you reach your full potential in life. Remember a couple months ago, we sent Jaywin out. Man, that really hurt. Because he was my friend, he was my co-laborer. But it brought me so much joy to see him being used by God. My advice to you is get into the Word. We provide you with this reading plan. We can teach you how to do your devotions. Understand the Word, journal, and apply God's Word into your daily life. So that when you discover your purpose, now that I know my purpose, now how do I put this plan into action? Now, if you read the Bible and you understand maybe your purpose, you say, oh, God really put the homeless people on my heart. So we said, okay, let's figure out how we can feed them, how we can pray for them, how we can bring them water. We'll come alongside of you, we'll equip you, and we'll help you get there. Maybe if you're called to go to on a missions trip, okay? Not to Tahiti or, you know, the nice South Pacific or, you know, maybe not to Disneyland either, okay? But maybe God called you to go on a mission trip to Mexico or the Philippines or Africa. We'll equip you and we'll help you. We have missionaries all around the world we can hook you up with. Maybe God called you to love our children, to teach Sunday school. Whoa, that's a big one, man. That is spooky. Yes. And I can think of, I can see you ready to run now out the door, but it's raining, so you're still here. But if that's your purpose, we'll help you. We'll set you up because we do need Sunday school teachers, people who are willing to love our children, to teach them, to encourage them, to pray with them. Next week is communion, and we're going to start taking communion to our children. Man, how would you love, how would you love to just lead your children? This is the bread, represent Christ's body. This is his blood. Take this in remembrance of me. How would you wouldn't you love to lead the children in doing that? Wouldn't you love to pray with them? Would you like to receive Jesus? Wouldn't you, I mean, that's great. Get them saved at a young age. Now, we got to figure out your purpose, your gifts, your desire. And then we can help you. Maybe your purpose in this season is to love your spouse. Maybe you're newlyweds. Maybe it's to, well, even regardless if you're newlyweds, you still got to love your spouse, right? I've been married for what, 26, 27, 18, 27. Yeah, it's going to be 27 years. And I still love my wife. I think the for you married couples, the closer you get to God, the more you love your spouse. How can we help you do your purpose? How can we help you reach those around you? How can we equip you to serve? And number three, hey, get this part. Don't wait. How many of you like to procrastinate? Oh, we get some honest people. The rest of you got to stay for second service. I'm one of those, man. Except for when it comes to eating. I don't procrastinate. Or sleeping. But don't wait. I think the longer you wait, the harder it is to do. Proverbs 13:4. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Oh, I love that. Ephesians 5:15. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is for your life. Understand your purpose. Do you recognize opportunities or your purpose when they come? Opportunities might come your way, like right now. Opportunities may come your way, like right now, to help you fulfill your purpose. Now, we can take this opportunity and say, yes, God, I need help. I need help. I want to sing. See, Pastor Aaron. I want to play keyboards. I want to play guitar. You know, sorry, but harmonica is taking because we got the best harmonica player in the world here. Maybe you play the violin. Hey, what about a saxophone? Maybe you play one of those. That'll be cool up here. Maybe you feel called to coach soccer. Hey, let's get our kids. Let's get a soccer team out on the field. And let's get our parents out there loving the unchurched parents, the one who's cussing at the referee. Right? That's how you're going to love people into this kingdom. Don't wait too long. Look at, I love the book of Esther. Look what Esther, if you recall the book of Esther, there was a point in time where all the Jews were going to be slaughtered. They were going to be killed. And Esther was queen, and she had an opportunity to do something about it. And I believe God put her there, and that was her purpose. And her uncle Mordecai said, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. She had a choice to live and do her purpose or sit back and watch her people get slaughtered, probably including her. And her uncle Mordecai explained, I bet you God put you here for in this time and this place to save your people. Don't let fear stop you from living out your purpose. I remember when I got to come out here, I was so afraid. I was so afraid. Like, what if nobody comes? What if I'm preaching on Sunday and I got my wife and my two daughters and that was it? I was like, oh, that'd be pretty tough, yeah? I would be squeezing tithes from their allowances to pay my bills. How's that, huh? You know, because when I came out here, there was no guarantee of people. There was no guarantee of a paycheck. But I said, you know what? If you called me to this, Lord, then what am I going to do? Fight against God? I would lose. I would fail. So I said, okay, Lord, I will go. Here I am, Lord, send me. I may not know what I'm doing, and some of you still think I don't know what I'm doing. And like I always said, I am not the smartest one here. I just showed up first. That was it, man. That was the requirement. God said, go, and go willingly. And he put me here. It's like, because I tell you what, most of you here probably are smarter than me with the college degree and everything. I asked that question, what about schooling? They said, I went to the school of hard knocks, learned life the hard way. That's my education. It's like, wow. Okay, so sometimes maybe you're afraid to fail. Maybe you're afraid to go into Sunday school class and the kids just run all over you. Yikes. Yeah, I mean, shoot, I do second grade junior achievement. And sometimes second grade is tough. I mean, I got to do second grade because we're on the same mentality level. They asked me to do fifth graders, but now the fifth graders are smarter than me. They, like, shoot, I don't know what they're teaching them. So if, you know, and don't be afraid of failure. If you haven't failed lately, maybe you haven't tried. I fail at so many things. Driving every day, my anger, I fail. Dirty water. I fail. You know, when I make cabinets, I cut and it's like, I measure once, I cut twice, three times, four times. I fail. But if I never, ever made a cut, the wood would still be there in one piece. Failure is when you don't even try. When you don't get back up. Don't let the fear of failure ever stop you from accomplishing your purpose. Don't let the fear of failure stop you from asking someone, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Think about it. If fear stopped you right there, that person may never be in heaven because of fear. And maybe at that moment, your purpose was to share Christ with them. Don't let fear stop you from doing your purpose. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You may put away your notes. Do not let fear stop you from asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Because some people say, oh, I don't know, I'm afraid. Because the Bible says, you know, count the cost. And there is, I mean, salvation is free, but there's a cost of discipleship. Sometimes we got to give up our bad habits. I mean, our smoking, our drug use, and our cussing. Good stuff to get rid of, you know. But don't let fear stop you from asking your parent, your auntie, your uncle, your brother, your sister, don't let fear stop you from asking them, hey, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? So next time a missile threat comes, it's like, all right, let's go. Let's go to heaven. Amen. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Would you bow your heads? And if you need to accept Jesus, do not let fear stop you. So pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? No fear, no shame. Anybody? All right. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, help us all to discover and to do what you have called us to do. Let nothing get in our way. No fear, no the devil, no anything get in the way of us accomplishing our purpose, what you put us here for. And Lord, today, maybe we want to get baptized, but maybe there's fear. Lord, remove the fear, because that is from the enemy. Because the Bible says that you did not give us the spirit of fear or timidity. So, Lord, we pray that you would clear up the skies over Hilo, over Coconut Island. You let the sun shine down upon us as we baptize your people, have a picnic, have a wonderful time in fellowship, and enjoy each other. But, Lord, if it continues to rain, let none of us be afraid of the rain, because it is just refreshing. We thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.